about coaching, what kind of perspective does that give you back on the profession?
You never get too far away from it. There's a lot of coaches that have spent a year off. You know, you're always involved in the game somehow. I was fortunate enough to have the video of all the games doing what I did with the NFL officiating. So you always stay pretty close. You know enough people in the league. You're watching enough games. You're staying current on everything. You know, I think the biggest thing is looking at things from a different perspective. Looking at it through an official's eyes. And, you know, when you're on a team, whether you're the defense coordinator, the head coach, or the quality control coach, you have a, you know, you have a dog in the hunt, so to speak. You know, you have a slanted perspective of what a foul is, what, you know, what should be thrown, what shouldn't be thrown. And you're always going to see it through that prism. When you're truly neutral and you can just watch, I think you can learn a lot about how things get officiated, and you know, I learned an awful lot that way last year.
The system you had in Buffalo, are you implementing the exact same system here? Is it different because you have different players?
Yeah, every year will be a little bit different. Our terminology is a little bit different. Cast of characters is a little bit different, and you know, if we're on the right track, we'll put the players in the best position to best use their talents. What we did in Buffalo was a little different than what we did in Detroit, which was a little different than what we did in Tennessee. You know, but it's all designed to try to make the most of what you had. I had a guy, Jerry Hughes, that was probably 245 pounds that played defensive end. He had to do it a little bit different than a Ziggy Ansah in Detroit or, you know, Vinnie Curry here.
How do you see your corner situation right now? Calvin Brooks, first team, and Jalen Mills coming in.
Yeah, I mean, if you come tomorrow, you'll see a completely different group. We don't have a depth chart now. We're just trying to work different different groups. You work different combinations. You want to see guys against different competition. Jalen had been going mostly against rookies, and we wanted to see him against you know, against some of the veteran wide receivers. You know, so this time of year, you're mixing and matching an awful lot. You're trying to put guys in a lot of different situations and trying to, you know, sort of see what you have. They're honestly, they're really not even competing right now. They're competing against themselves to try to improve their technique, to try to improve their understanding of the scheme. But the competition will start once we get to training camp. You know, once we really, you know, get going with some contact and some full team drills and things like that. Yeah, it's a little too early to put anything on him. He's been impressive so far, but you know, we haven't really even started yet, to tell you the truth. I mean, he's got a lot to learn, and you know, his head's probably swimming a little bit. But what he has shown, he's a very good athlete. He can play the ball, and he's comfortable being on an island. And I think if you were check-marking things for corners, you know, those would be three nearer at the top.
Some other safeties at the corners in the red zone. Was that kind of by design, too, just to see how they could operate?
Yeah, you know, the way offense is run now, particularly with multidimensional tight ends, I mean, you saw the emphasis our team put on those tight ends and, you know, some of the contracts that those guys got. You're using them in a lot of different ways. You're lining them up as wide receivers. You're, you know, motioning them. You're doing all those different things. And if you have a safety that's not comfortable playing out there like a corner, you're going to be in trouble. So it's probably just an eye toward getting ready for those situations. You know, they detach a tight end, put them on the backside. You know, there's a lot of teams that do that. You know, they have big body. They can throw a fade to and do a lot of different things that way. And our safeties have to you know, be comfortable executing that. Both of our safeties and a lot of our safeties, let's put it that way, have corner in the background. That's for a reason.
Benny Logan, how is he transitioning over from a nose tackle to a 4-3 defensive tackle?
You know, all those guys have a adjustment period. It's not just a change of position from a nose to a defensive tackle. It's really a change of philosophy from an at-the-line two-gap philosophy to an attack you know, get off the ball and one gap penetrate philosophy. So, you know, those guys have had some ups and some downs. You don't want to read too much into it now. They don't have pads on. You know, I mean, you can get excited about defensive linemen. You can get down on defensive linemen, but, you know, when we get those full pad practices and training camp, when we start getting in the preseason games, you know, I think we'll really have a good grasp of, you know, how far those guys have come and, you know, what they're good at and what they're not. But, you know, they're on the right track.
What do you put into the three Bills players that they brought in free agency, and why did you target those?
Well, anytime you have experience with players, you're going to have greater insight than, you know, people that haven't been up close and personal with them, so to speak. You know, I'm not writing any checks, and I'm not making any final decisions. But you know, anytime we have a resource, whether it's me, another coach, some scouts came from different organizations. You know, you always try to get some firsthand knowledge of a player, and you know, I think you know it was obvious that I was comfortable with those guys. The year I had him, he was playing at a really high level. Before he got hurt, he broke his ankle against Miami, and really was playing at a high level. He's not the tallest guy around, but he can jump. He can play the ball in the air. Mentally and physically tough. And I don't know if you'd see that just seeing his body shape, but he'll go throw his body around and hit. His first round draft pick. He's played at a high level in this league.
Have you spoken to Fletcher Cox since you took the job?
Yeah, you know, I think any conversations I have with players, I don't want to bring them into a press conference or bring them into a meeting. So I'll just choose not to comment on that.
Is he missing by being away until you've been stalled?
I mean, it's voluntary. So, I mean, you can only do so much. You know, Fletch was drafted in a scheme that was similar to this. You know, he'll catch up. But, you know, I'm sure there'd be some carryover for him. But I assume he's a fast learner, and I assume he'll pick things up quickly.
When you came here, did you envision him playing your defense, and how well do you think he'll fit into what you want to do?
Yeah, you know, I want to do this. I think probably that's probably enough Fletcher Cox speak. Let's just talk about the guys that are here. I mean, I really can't comment on the guys that aren't here. I haven't had any experience with those guys. So anything I'd say would really be hypothetical, to tell you the truth. I did look at, as the whole defensive staff did, we evaluated last year and what guys did, and he certainly had an impressive year last year. And we think that scheme-wise and technique-wise, that what we're doing is going to fit him very well.
Do you have your thoughts on Marcus Smith, Jim, as far as whether he fits a 4-3 wide nine scheme maybe better than a 3-4?
I think the biggest thing when you're talking about a young player is, you know, allowing him to grow at, I guess, at the right pace. I don't know if it's the best way to put it. But I think, first of all, let's reserve judgment on any of those guys until the pads come on. But this is a scheme that that greatly limits what he's asked to do. Very easy in theory, difficult in execution, but easy in theory. And should allow him to play fast, attack spots, you know, be a little less, I don't know, give him a little bit less responsibility, but hopefully allow him to make a greater impact. He's very athletic. He's got great size. He's done very well so far. But again, let's reserve judgment on any of these guys until we get pads on.
Has experience playing, I guess both Sam and Will in this similar type scheme. How do you envision him eventually? Where are you going to end up? I know it's obviously early.
Yeah, you know, we're moving those guys around a lot of different ways. A little bit like our corners, we talked about lining some guys up inside, lining them outside, getting them ready for a lot of different situations. And, you know, we're really not 100% how we're going to line up our linebackers. I've had times where we lined up guys just played right and left. Give you an example. When I was in Tennessee, Keith Bullock always played on the right side. He was comfortable on the right side, played on the right side regardless of whether the tight end was to the right or the tight end was to the left. You know, when I was in Detroit, it was pretty much the same way. In Buffalo, we flipped guys. And our linebacker coach then, Fred Pugich, had experience flipping guys when he was at Minnesota, and it matched what we did. So I think that decision will be made as we go through training camp, as we go through preseason games, whether we're going to play right or left or whether they're going to travel with a tight end or travel to the open side. You know, there's something to be said for both of them. You know, you can make it a little bit easier on a player if he flips because he's seeing the same looks, even though it's from the right or the left. He's seeing the same blocking schemes, you know, just from a different side. Then, again, you could look at it and say it's easier just to line up on one side and, you know, get used to playing that one side and playing what you see. So too early to tell exactly how we'll line it up. It's pretty much the same thing with safeties. You know, those two positions, you have to line up outside, you have to line up inside, you have to line up deep. You know, how we'll line those guys up will be determined by training camp and preseason games.
Back on the other side then, Nigel. Can he play both Sam and Will?
Yeah, and both of those guys can. I mean, all those guys are pretty much interchangeable, and you have to be now. Very rare that you're going to see people line up in two back with tight end in the core and two wide receivers. You know, those days have long passed. You see that 10 snaps a game maybe. A lot of times you're facing three wide receivers, detached tight ends. You better be a multidimensional player. You can line up in space, line up in the box, cover man, play zone. If not, you know, you're going to be a target for the offensive coordinator. You're going to be a target for the quarterback. Both of those guys, Kendricks and Bradham, both can do those things. They're good run stoppers as well as they can play in space.
What was your experience taught you about year one of a new defense, kind of the best way to attack it, and how big of an undertaking is it to transition into this one?
You know, I think my experience has told me that every year is different, and you can't. You can't judge one year on something else. I mean, everybody picks things up at a different pace. Players are different. You know, it's a different dynamic with coaches. You know, I think if you prejudge anything and say this is what's going to happen, I think you're on the wrong track. You got to keep an open mind. You know, it's hard to be patient in the NFL, but you have to be patient this time of year, because we don't have any games scheduled on Sunday. And, you know, the most important thing is making progress in technique and fundamentals and, you know, building a good foundation that you can draw on in September. You can draw on in December and January. I think that's the most important thing now. And, you know, I mean, anything else, you just have to play it as it comes to you. You just have to judge everybody on this year, not what happened in the past.
We'll look at Brandon Graham prior to the 2010 draft. Then he comes into the NFL, plays the 4-3, stands up for 3 years now, moves back to the end of the calendar. Has it to this point looked like a natural transition for him?
Well, I had Brandon for a week, well, probably less than a calendar week, so I don't know if you can classify that with having worked with him before. But, again, we talked a little bit about Fletcher being drafted for an attack scheme. You know, maybe a little different alignment, maybe, you know, some things have changed, but still an attack scheme. And Brandon was drafted the same way. He was drafted for an attack scheme. You know, there's a lot of things that he brings to the table. Number one, he's strong. You know, he's hard to handle on the edge. Sometimes, you know, that lack of height that he has that some people think is a disadvantage, he can use to his advantage. And I think of, you know, some guys in the history of the NFL, you know, Dwight Freeney's one, you know, Doomerville, you know, some of those guys that, you know, sometimes you get to a 6'7" offensive lineman and they have a hard time handling those 6'1", 6'2" type guys. They have a little different leverage and, you know, it gives them a different look. I think Brandon can bring some of that.
No, thank you. My head coach, Douglas, said he's going to give you an autonomy over the defense. But how has he used you as a resource, considering your past as a head coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think Doug is very good at using a lot of different resources. We have a lot of different experiences on the staff. You know, some guys were here last year. That's valuable insight to him. I've been a head coach before. I think that's valuable insight to him. That's one of the good things about him. He doesn't have very much of an ego, and he's open-minded when it comes to a lot of different things. The same thing goes with players. You know, I see him talking to players all the time and getting their input on things. I think that's all important. He's going to make his own decisions. He's his own man, and he's going to have to find his own way. But, you know, sometimes people can have a little different, input or a little different experience that, you know, he might be able to draw from. He's not shy about asking anybody their opinion.
Follow up on the safeties. A major investment was made in both those guys this offseason. What's the value of having two players like that in your scheme?
Well, That was money well spent. I'm sort of violating my rule with judging too much into this time of year. But I think, you know, saying linemen need pads on before you can judge them, and rookies, let's not judge those guys on anything yet. Both of those guys are veteran players, and you can see that right away. They're both multidimensional. They communicate very well. They can cover a lot of ground. They can blitz. They can play man. They can play zone. I'd be very surprised as the year went on if they're not one of the better safety tandems in the NFL. They've been very impressive so far. You know, when the draft is over, there's a lot of guys that you had a lot of feeling for. Your scouts had a lot of feeling for that you think are going to fit into the scheme. It's a matter of trying to sell that to them and, you know, how it can best match their skills. He was a guy, I remember one of the scouts coming to me a couple weeks before the draft and asking me to look at him. And, you know, knowing, you know, we weren't going to have a whole lot of draft picks and we were going to have to hit on some of those free agents. I saw a stat. You guys would probably have to look it up more than I did or more than I know. But it had something to do with, like, Pro Bowl players, and it was, like, the number of first-rounders that are Pro Bowl players, number of second-rounders, number of third-rounders. Well, after first, second, and third-rounders, by far the greatest concentration of Pro Bowl players have come from undrafted free agents. We just talked about Rodney McLeod coming in the same way. Those guys all have an opportunity. He's played inside and outside. He's strong. Like a lot of rookies, his head's swimming right now. And, they're working really hard to try to, you know, get ahead of the curve so that when camp comes, they can show their very best. He's on the right track, but he's got a long way to go.
I want to ask you about another undrafted free agent that I assume you had some input into signing. That's Mike Tavares. Deion Buchanan's success has kind of spawned teams looking for somebody like that. Does he kind of fit that mold of undersized, you know, a safety linebacker hybrid or not?
He actually played on the line of scrimmage at Incarnate Word. That's the first time I ever thought I would say that. I'd use Incarnate Word in a press conference. I don't know a whole lot about college football, but, you know, they actually played a pretty good schedule last year. They played UTEP, played Stephen F. Austin, they played Sam Houston State. They played some teams that I'm familiar with. You're able to see him, but he played at the line of scrimmage. He didn't play safety. He's 235 pounds. He's not that guy. He's more going through the transition of moving back and being more coverage-oriented. And I think that's going to best fit his skill set. Can run, made a lot of plays in college. He also went from junior college, cup of coffee at Arkansas, to Incarnate Word. So he's got a big jump ahead of him also. But he has a skill set to be able to do it. That was another guy like Quentin that we thought a lot of after the draft and tried our best to get him, and we were lucky enough to get him signed.
You guys were going through the draft and everything. How much of an input did you have on guys, not only –
Yeah, obviously it matters. I mean, you don't draft guys blind. You don't draft guys and say, hey, let's do something with them. I think our greatest input as coaches came probably before draft meetings, where there was a lot of back and forth and what we were going to ask players to do and what kind of skill sets we were looking for and what criteria we were going to judge them on. And then the scouts could sort of use that lens to be able to see those guys. The scouts had a very difficult job because they spent most of the college season or all of the college season, particularly for defensive players, even a little bit the case for offensive players, scouting for a system that changed. And that's a very difficult situation. So one of the very first things we did when we got here was sit down and go through a couple days and talk about, you know, just blind of players, not talk about a particular player, but just generalizations, what a player is going to be asked to do, what kind of guys you've had success with, what kind of guys you've, had failures with, and try to be able to mold a model of, what we're looking for, you know, and that, that's sort of continuing now, you know, and that'll continue all along the way. I don't think there's an NFL team that coaches don't evaluate for the draft, but I think that's a lot of times it's a affirmation of what the scouts saw, you know, or it's a sign, hey, we might need to do a little more work on this guy. I don't know any coaches that trump what the scouts have done, and I don't know any time in the NFL that, you know, scouts will draft guys that the coaches don't think are very good fits. So it's two-way street, and, you know, probably just, you know, we're just touching the surface of that relationship between the coaches and the scouts.
Alrighty, what did you see in McAllister and Walker?
You know, Joe has – it's very difficult to play linebacker, and I'll throw Countess in there too, safety. You know, those are positions that you have to know where all the pieces fit together, and you got to be the guys that are making calls on the run. Joe's going through a little different experience, going from the system he played in college, where he was a lateral player. You know, wasn't a, you know, hit, attacking the line of scrimmage, north-south guy, who's more lateral. And, you know, so he's learning on the way, but he's shown he can make a play in the passing game. He's a good athlete. He's long. He's hard to throw. He didn't have a very good day today, but that was, you know, it starts to creep up on those guys. You know, they feel comfortable with one thing, and then all of a sudden you're adding three more, you know, defenses. They're going out and trying to execute those, and, you know, all their heads are swimming right now, but they'll, you know, they'll start to come back. And McAllister's a really good athlete. Tall, long, can affect the passer. He's got really good athletic ability to go. He's gaining strength. He's still got size to gain every day. I say him, I ask him how much he weighs. You know, just because, you know, I want him to always have that at the forefront, always, you know, think every day, you know, believe it or not, there was a time I used to have to eat a lot to gain weight. You know, those days are long past for me. But, you know, and the only way to do it is really get that feedback every day. You know, it's like, you know, hey, I'm a pound light today, and, you know, and you're sucking down more shakes and eating more and more. And he's got that ahead of him. He's got a frame to handle a lot of weight, but it has to be, you know, part of his daily routine. I've had some success with some tall, long guys before. Reminds me a little bit of Willie Young, who I had in Detroit, who's moved on to Chicago. Devin Taylor, who I had in Detroit, you know, 6'7" guys with long arms. They're always in the rush. They can be blocked, and they got those Inspector Gadget arms, and they can go knock a pass down or affect the quarterback. He has some of that skill set, but, you know, he's shown some things, but, you know, that sounds like a broken record when I say he's got a long way to go. He's got a long way to go.
Why did you gravitate towards a 4-3 on your attacking?
You know, when I first went to Tennessee, we based out of a lot of 3-4, but it probably came from just the personnel that we had. You know, we drafted Javon Kearse, and there was a lot of thought whether Javon Kearse was going to be a 3-4 outside linebacker, whether he was going to be a defensive end. You know, we decided to try to make it as simple as we could for him, put him in one spot and just, you know, let him attack and let him rush the passer and let him play the edge. Had some success with that, and, you know, the other guys in the scheme, it fit. You know, we acquired Kevin Carter. We drafted a lot of different guys. And philosophically, I think the thing that's guided that has been try to make it as simple as we can. It's a coach's job to make a complex game simple for the players. You know, it's our job to make it where they can digest it. There's a lot of things that are going on in the field. You know, offense is running tempo now, and you know, different personnel groups and formations, and there's a million different things going on. They have to process all that stuff. Our job's to try to streamline the information, make, you know, allow them to play fast, and, you know, give them confidence. You know, I think that the other part of a 4-3 is when you can affect the passer with four guys. When you're not forced to blitz to get pressure on the quarterback, you're in a very good position on defense. And I've been there before where you can't get pressure and you have to blitz, and it's not a great feeling. You want to blitz on your terms. You want to be able to blitz when you want to, when the situation is right, not, well, we can't generate a pass rush unless we do. So, you know, allowing those guys to, you know, keep it simple, to be able to pressure with four and not make yourself skinnier, so to speak, in coverage. Can also take some of the big plays away from offenses, you know, and I think big plays equal points.
What do you like about being a defensive coordinator and not having the head coach you have to go to, the things you can do?
Yeah, probably talking to you guys. you know what? I think if you ask every coach, they'd all say the same thing. Everybody has a different role, and every role is important, whether you're a quality control coach breaking down the film, whether you're one of the equipment guys holding the chains on the sideline, whether you're the head coach or the defensive coordinator. You have an important role to fill, and you have enough in that role that keeps you occupied, and there's a lot to like about this game, and it's fun. You know, I've done just about everything. I started off as an unpaid intern. I've been a head coach. Every one of those jobs was enjoyable. Every one was fun. They're all different, so it's hard to compare, you know, one against the other.
You think back to 09 when you were a head coach and you had a first-round pick at quarterback. What's the key to bringing along a quarterback from your experience as a head coach there?
You know, there's a lot of things. I think I probably would say, similar to some of these other questions I had, don't judge him on somebody else. And then also don't predetermine the results of the race. You know, just let him go play. Don't put, you know, pressure on him. You know, and I can't speak for Carson and, you know, what's going on. I have my own worries. I mean, you guess all crappy practice that was. We got enough worries on defense right now. But I think that, you know, when we drafted Stafford, we just let it play. And, you know, was he our best quarterback? Was he ready? Unfortunately, he got hurt both his first and second year, probably from holding the ball a little bit too long at times. He learned those lessons, and, you know, his third year, he really, really took off. But I think he had enough command those other years that he was ready to play. We wouldn't have put him on the field otherwise.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, guys.